sharing that. I want to go ahead and dismiss our students. Nathan's going to be leading us. Thank you, Nathan. Go ahead, students. If you want to go back there, you can go ahead. He's going to be leading y'all. We're going to be in Romans 14 today if y'all want to jump in there. I'm like, I prep out my sermons and in my notes, if you guys want to see, I have like scriptures are in red and then stories are in green and then my notes are in black, right? Just so you guys get a little insight. And I'm looking at all my green and all my stories and I'm like, they're pretty much painting me to be a hippie and I'm not, but they're like true stories about my life. But I grew up in San Diego, so there's like a little bit of just hippie mentality down there, just to be honest. But I'm going to intro with this. I had to go to Sprouts and T-Mobile, and they were right next door to each other where I grew up. And I just went in from my garage, jumped in my car, and drove there. And you're not really thinking about it. I had to go pick something up at T-Mobile, and then I had to go buy a couple groceries at Sprouts. And I get there, and when I park, I realize I didn't put shoes on. So I'm like, what do? I got all the way here. Like, I'm not going to go all the way home, but then yet, like, I was trying to mentally picture myself walking into T-Mobile with no shoes on, and I'm like, this is very weird. Bare feet, right? It was super awkward, and it's just like there's these unspoken rules that are in our society. I guess that one's sometimes spoken because it's like no shoes, no shirt, no service, right? Sometimes you'll see that on the door, but there are some unspoken things. For example, I was talking to another pastor who has a church similar to ours, a church plant. And he wears a hat to church almost every time when he comes to preach. And I remember him talking to us. He's like, you know what? I'm going to stop wearing a hat to church because I feel like it's not a good look. You know, like as a senior pastor, I don't know how people view me wearing a hat. And I was just thinking about what if I just rolled in one Sunday with shorts on, flip-flops, and a hat? Would it be weird? I don't know. Like, there's nothing essentially wrong with it. Biblically, there's nothing wrong with it. But it could just come across a little weird, right? It could just be a little dingy. And, you know, someone comes to the church, they're new, they're like, this is the pastor? I mean, they already think that, right? But like, even to another level, right? So there's just some cultural expectations that we kind of live by that we don't even really realize that we abide by, that are in nature. And today we're going to be talking a little bit about some of those cultural things because Paul's addressing to the Jews and really to the Christians of the time in Rome, but he's there's a lot of Jews that were converting, they're coming to know Christ, but they had Jewish customs, and yet he's addressing a lot of these things that are not necessarily sin or righteousness issues. It's not like these are obviously sinful and these are obviously not sinful. There's some areas that are a little bit gray, and he's going, how do we navigate those things? And he actually really clearly lays things out here in Romans 14. How do we navigate some of those gray areas in our Christian walk? So hopefully this speaks to some of you, because if you're walking through some of those things right now, okay, if you're not walking through some of those things right now, it's probably good to dive into some of those things, because Paul's going to challenge us to actually draw some lines in the sand for ourselves. So we're not just like, I'm in this hazy gray area all the time, but I actually know what I believe and I'm walking by faith. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and jump in. That was my first hippie story. Next one's coming in a second here. Okay, Romans 14:1 says this. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Okay, so on the surface, we're looking at this, we're like, okay, great, we're going to listen about dietary laws, like we're gonna learn about dietary laws in scripture for the next 40 minutes. This is going to be super fun, right? But there's going to be a lot of practical application here. First of all, I think it's hilarious that Paul just roasts all the vegetarians by saying, he who is weak eats only vegetables, right? I love that. I'm like, amen. Like, Brianna's like, we've gotten into some documentaries before, if y'all have done that. You ever watched like Blackfish? Oh, that'll change your life. You're like, SeaWorld's going down. You know, let's take him down. Like, there's some documentaries that'll kind of start changing your mindset on different things. We watched one that was, like, about meat and how bad meat is. So we just started buying all this, like really garbage vegetarian options, right? We're, like, making quesadillas with cashew cheese. If you've ever done that, it just stays as shredded, like, rubber inside of a tortilla. It doesn't work. Like, it just does not melt like cheese does. And we tried, so, and I'm not trying to, like, I'm actually not trying to discourage any vegetarians in here. If that's what you're deciding to do, go for it. Like, more power to you. But I will say, I was for sure weak when I was, I'm already kind of like not the most burly guy. So like, add in the fact that I wasn't eating any protein. It was a really bad like month, I think, or so. I think what ended up shifting it is we realized a lot of the vegetarian things we were eating were actually more processed and bad for us than the actual meat that we were eating before. So we're like, you know what? Forget it. We're going to just like fry some bacon. But that is not what Paul is saying here at all. So that story was just to prove more that I'm a hippie. But Paul recognized during this time that the Jews were the Jews that were coming to faith were still trying to reconcile their Jewish laws with their Christian faith. And there was a lot of dietary restrictions that were in place for Jews. I mean, so you still know that to this day, right? There were also this whole thing about pagan gods and people sacrificing animals to pagan gods and people not wanting to eat the meat that was sacrificed to the pagan gods. Because what if they sacrifice some bird to some pagan god and then they roast it up and I'm eating like a bird drumstick? Am I going to be cursed or something, right? Like, they didn't know what to actually do with it. Here's the crazy thing is Paul actually says that when you're receiving the weaker person in the faith, the weaker one is the one that actually is only eating the vegetables because they don't understand their own liberty. Okay, they haven't actually figured it out yet. That's okay. It's not like weak, like this is a weak man. Kick him out of the congregation. It's not that. This person is weaker because he hasn't quite figured out where he stands on his liberties yet. Now, that doesn't mean, like, I really need to be careful in this sermon not to give everybody an excuse to just say, well, then I can just go and push all the boundaries of all the gray areas and push them all the way to the point of sin. That's not it. The whole message here is going to be seek God in those areas and figure out between you and God what you actually are able to walk by conviction and walk by faith in. Okay? That's going to be the message here. So Paul's like, I don't struggle with bacon anymore. I don't struggle with shellfish anymore. I just don't. I know that I have liberty. Everything is clean. He's going to say that here in a minute. Everything is clean to me. But if there's a weaker person, you need to walk circumspectly with that person. So he's going to go on to kind of talk about that. So we don't deal with a whole lot of religious, like, dietary restrictions in our culture. But there's several things that we could apply to our lives that don't have to do with dietary restrictions. Like, I was thinking about it. Have you ever met somebody who's very religious about coming to church every Sunday? Right? Like, I will not ever miss a Sunday. Okay, now here's where I got to be careful, because is it good to go to church? Yes. Is it good to regularly go to church? Yes. All those things are very good. Scripture's clear on it. But if your friend is going to the lake house and he's like, hey, I got us a weekend in Broken Bow. We would love for you to join us. It's like, well, no, I cannot miss church, because if I miss church, then I'm, you know, in some sort of sinful place. It's like you don't understand your liberties at that point. I had a pastor whose son was in my youth group, and he's like, if he gets invited to his friend's house to the lake, I want him to go there and not come to church on Sunday, because it's okay for him to understand that he isn't legally bound to being here every Sunday. Do you understand that? There is liberty in Christ. Okay, like, it's really important for us to understand. What about drinking alcohol? This is a hot button topic. We're going to come back to it, because I think he's going to kind of more so break it down. But the Bible's pretty clear that drunkenness is sin. You're stumbling drunk, you're in sin, okay? But how much, like where do you draw the line? If we were to all ask each other where the line is, it'd be in different places. Every single one of you would have a different place to put that line. So what's actually the right thing, and what is actually the wrong thing? We're going to come back to that in a little bit. But I think the point here is to not judge what other people are doing. Okay? Don't judge them. We're actually not the judge. I want to just go ahead and read the next few verses, because it's hard to teach the first part without teaching the second part. He's going to really elaborate on this point. So verse 4, who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another, and another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat the Lord to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then let each of us give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. Okay. Paul leans heavily in on don't judge one another. Judgment's a big thing because, you know, some people will be like, only God can judge me, right? Like, that's the mindset. Only God can judge me. And they almost put that in a blanket statement of, like, you can't actually correct my actions. Like, I can do whatever I want and only God can judge me. There is a time and a place for us as believers to call out sin within the congregation and for us to say, hey, in love, you should live your life in a different way. Here's a better way. And it's for reconciliation's sake, right? But what he's saying here is not to constantly be in judgment of one another, calling each other out, especially in these areas of liberty, okay? So he talks about this, like, I think about how Paul is specifically talking about judgment because he's probably seeing it. He's going around planting churches, right? He's going around, he's in Ephesus, right? He's in Corinth, right? He goes to all these different places, he's planting churches, and he's seeing the judgment and how the judgment is breaking down the church. So he's trying to speak against it right now. And he uses this example of one person esteems a day above another, and another esteems every day alike. Now, this is interesting because I was doing a lot of research on this going, is he talking about the Sabbath? Is he talking about feast days? What is he talking about here? Because he's specifically saying one person esteems a day and others see every day alike. And there's a lot of debate over what Paul was talking about here. But at the end of the day, what he's saying is if you are the type of person who celebrates a specific day and you hold a specific day up as holy, okay, that's what one person does. Somebody else might be like, it's Monday, time to serve the Lord, okay? Either way, both of those people are honoring the Lord because they're both doing it unto the Lord. So why are you to say, hey, you need to be celebrating this feast, or hey, you shouldn't be celebrating Easter, or you should be doing this, or whatever it may be, pointing the finger at each other. Just wake up and serve the Lord, right? That's the point. That's the main point here. Don't judge what others are doing, right? Like, Halloween's coming up. If I were to sit down with every one of you and say, what's your opinion on Halloween? How do you celebrate it as a family? Do you run from it? Do you pass out scripture to the student or to the kids that come to your door? You know, scripture mints, encouragements or something, toothbrushes? Apples, I don't know. Like, or are you the type of person who just shuts all your lights off and it's black? Or are you like, you know what? We just go out and we trick or treat and we're part of it and we don't make it a big deal. Or are you the type of person who's like, I want to be the family that opens up our doors and welcomes the community and maybe I can have a conversation of faith with somebody? I don't know what you do. What's the right answer? What's the wrong answer? We can make some pretty good arguments in different ways, right? Christmas, how do you celebrate Christmas? I don't know. I don't get into all the consumerism stuff. We don't do gifts. We don't do all that stuff. We just take our family out and we go feed the homeless. Awesome. More power to you. Man, we love Christmas, our favorite time of year. We decorate. We gather our family together. We pray. We listen to Christmas music. And it's just, we're so excited because Jesus is being glorified on the radio, right? Like, I don't know how you celebrate, but what's the right or wrong answer? Where's the scripture? Show me where it says what's the right way or the wrong way to celebrate Christmas, right? Christmas isn't even in the scriptures, right? Like, not in the way that you want it to be. If you get the reference, you know, it's deep. I know growing up, I would go to my aunt's house and it was like debauchery. Like, everybody was just like celebrating in all the craziest ways you could possibly imagine. And then I would go from my aunt's house to my mother-in-law's house And she's like, "Ooh, I have a Lauren Daigle song I want you all to hear." And she pulls out the boombox and puts a CD in. And like, if you brought like a boyfriend or girlfriend to Christmas, you're like, "Hey, it's gonna be 3.5 minutes. We're gonna listen to Lauren Daigle." You know what I mean? And this is just part of it, you know. And we would sit there and we'd listen, and mom would be worshiping, and we would do a long prayer before dinner. Everything would be cold by the time we ate it because we're praying for 20 minutes for every member of the family. It was awesome, but like, it was just a different way to celebrate. Right? Like, but then again, it's like, how do you celebrate? The purpose is to not judge one another. Verse 10, I love this. Verse 10 says, "Why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother?" It's like two different questions that are asked here. Some people are very strict and rigid with themselves. They're like, "I'm up at 6 a.m. I'm reading the Bible for 30 minutes. I'm praying for 15 minutes. I'm going on a walk, then I'm coming home, and then I'm making my coffee, and then I'm starting my day." And that's rigid. They are on it, right? And that's one way to do it. Other people go, "You know what? I have my Devo of the day, and I do it when I can do it. Sometimes it's before bed at night, and I pray, and I kind of try to, while I'm walking and I'm out about my day, I pray, and I just think of the Lord, and I talk to him." Okay, it's not as rigid. What's the right way or what's the wrong way? Actually, either way is not right or wrong. The only problem comes is when the legalistic person, they become legalistic, I should say, when they say, "You don't get up every morning and do it? How do you start your day? So you don't have scripture on your mind when you go out, and that's the first thing that's on your mind?" And then the other person goes, look at this legalistic, you know, prude who wakes up every morning and does this and wants to judge everybody else because they're so holy and so righteous. Either way, you're in the wrong once you start pointing the finger. That's the point that Paul's trying to make here, right? Like, I'm youth pastor, okay? When you point the finger, there's three pointing at you, right? Like, that's how it should be. That's the mindset, is you don't want to point the finger at one another. And at the end of the day, we're all going to be accountable to God and God alone. So don't judge one another. And if somebody judges you, shake it off, right? Don't worry about it, right? You should judge yourself. Judge yourself. If you actually are your own worst critic and you judge yourself and you are strict on yourself, you actually, that's the healthiest thing, because then you're growing in faith personally with the Lord, okay? Verse 14. "I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men." So Paul is being very clear. He's like, for me, Paul's saying, for me personally, I've come to the place where I say nothing's unclean. I can eat bacon, I can eat beef, I can eat whatever. I'm not worried about it because I'm giving thanks to the Lord and it's from the Lord. I'm not worried about it. But to somebody else who thinks it's unclean, I don't want to cause them to stumble. I don't want to cause a problem for them. Now, there's some things, like I said, I opened up by saying there's some black and white in Scripture. There's some really clear lines drawn in Scripture. Okay, obviously, we should not get blacked out drunk. Okay, obviously, we should not do drugs that alter our state of mind and we're no longer in a place of sobriety. Okay, there's some pretty clear black and white lines in Scripture that we don't even need to really debate because it's like, here's the verse, okay? But when it comes to the gray area, there's so many areas that can be gray. Like, I think about, like, what kind of movies do you watch? If I were to sit down with each person in here, I would say, okay, what's the level of movies that you watch? What's the level of movies that you let your kids watch, if you have kids, right? Maybe you're like, well, you know, if it's rated R, we'll watch it, but only if it doesn't have this in it. Only if it's not this kind of rated R, okay? Because, like, what are ratings anyways? You know, it's not like those are biblical. You know, it's just kind of, like, based on a random set of things, right? Maybe you watch PG-13 movies, maybe PG movies. Maybe you're saying, let's just get away from Hollywood completely. Maybe you watch Angel Studios movies, you know what I mean? Low-budget Christian films. I don't know what you guys watch, right? But at the end of the day, you have to decide. What kind of music do you listen to? Right? What kind of beverages do you drink? How much do you drink? What kind of prescription pills are you willing to take? You know, if a doctor prescribes something, right? What about what kind of food do you put in your body? Are you willing to eat junk food all the time? Or do you feel like, you know, my body's a temple, I need to eat this way? There is so much that we can get lost in the weeds of these gray areas. But here's what I want to say. You as a Christian, you as a believer, it is your job to come to a place where you know what you believe and why you believe it. That's what's important. If you don't know the answer to any of the questions that I asked, it's probably time to figure out an answer to the questions that I asked. And here's how you do it. You say, Lord, what kind of movies do you want me to watch? That's a hard question to ask because all of a sudden God's like, not that one. And you're like, oh, I really wanted to watch that one. And now you're challenged. And now you're growing. That's a good place to be because you're challenging yourself. Notice you're not saying, well, I want to figure out what kind of movies to watch so that I can judge somebody else who watches those movies. Because, you know, I would never watch something like that because I've decided that's not appropriate. It's like we've got to come to a place where we have faith in what we do and we walk by faith. Now, let me tell you this. If you as an individual or as a family say, here's the line, this kind of movie or below I'll watch. Now not only do you not need to point the finger at others, you need to be careful pulling somebody else into your circle and flexing your liberty on them if their line is in a different place. Okay? That's very, very important. Okay? So I want to come back to the alcohol thing. You've said, you know what? I don't struggle. I'm not an addict. I'm totally fine. I feel like I've reconciled it biblically with my faith and with the Lord that I'm willing to drink one or two drinks at home. Okay? That's where you've come to. Cool. Okay? You are walking by faith. You're good with the Lord. You're good. Now you have friends over at your house and you pull the six pack out and your friend goes, your friend's mind is, I don't touch it because I have addicts in my family. I have a history of addiction. I don't like, now what have you done? You've exercised your own liberty in a place that actually caused somebody else to stumble. They might look up to you as a believer and say, man, you're a strong believer and you are because you've grown in your faith and you've got these liberties that you understand. But now you've brought somebody else in and you've caused them to stumble. That's what Paul is trying to teach against here. We have to be careful how we exercise our liberties with one another. We have to be careful. So know what you know, draw your line, walk by faith, do what you know is right in your heart. But be sensitive to others, okay? And then Paul says this, and I love this verse. I say this is like the key verse of the whole chapter, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. This whole chapter is about eating and drinking, but this whole chapter is not about eating and drinking. Do you understand what I'm saying? It has nothing to do with that. It's literally like be a decent human being. And respect one another and care for one another and know your liberties and know who you are in Christ, but be sensitive and care for those around you. It is so, so important. He wraps it up with these few verses, and we'll talk about this for a moment. Verse 19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. So once again, he opens up by saying, pursue the things which make for peace. Pursue the things that make for peace. It is so important that as we pursue relationships with one another, the goal is peace. He goes, you know what, I can imagine in Paul's head him saying, I was in Corinth, and you know what, they were all judging each other. And they were all roasting each other and tearing each other down, and it was the opposite of what the kingdom of God is supposed to be. What it's supposed to be is peace. Joy, righteousness in the Holy Spirit. I've watched firsthand churches just crumble from within, and this division and all kinds of nasty things, because your own devo time becomes your flex on everybody else, or your own sobriety becomes your flex on everybody else, or your own liberty becomes your flex on everybody else. Who cares? I'm not impressed. God's not impressed. But care for one another. That's what's important. Don't flex it on the other people. Just care for them. Care for them. That is so much more important. If you have a friend that comes over to your house and they don't eat pork, you know how easy it is to cook without using pork? It's not that hard. You know what I mean? Like, we made smash burgers the other night. No pork. Could have done it. It would have been delicious. Throwing a little bacon strip on there, right? But we didn't do it, right? We just, not for any dietary restriction reason, but we just didn't do it. And my point is that if you have somebody who could stumble in a specific area, is it really that hard to watch a football game without a beer? Like, can you do it? Can you do it? I think you could do it, right? I do it. I would say I do it all the time, but I don't watch football, right? So I don't. But I do a lot of things without beer all the time, is my point. And I think it's pretty easy. Like, I feel like with some of my family, they don't know actually how to function without having a drink. Because they don't know how to, like, socialize without it. They don't know how to be without it. And it's actually a pretty good exercise. Now, I want to say this, because I've talked a lot about alcohol. Jesus' first miracle was turning water into wine. Okay, like, anyone who's like, alcohol is bad all the time, like, is ignoring so much scripture. Because Jesus is like, see all those water pots? And he makes them into the best wine. And people are now scooping cups of wine out of a gigantic water pot. Like, if Jesus was like, this is sin, you think he would just create a bunch more of it and let everybody just, you know, get just indulge in sin? That's completely contrary to the heart of Christ. So that's a side tangent. But I just don't want you to think, like, the poor purpose is, like, anti-alcohol. The purpose here is knowing how to exercise your liberties, knowing how to walk by faith, knowing how to believe what you believe, live the right way to live that makes you accountable to Jesus, and not judge anybody else, and not cause anybody else to stumble. That's the main heart and the main purpose here. I'm going to read these last couple verses again because I think it's important. Do you have faith? Verse 22. Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. Let's talk about that for just a second. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. This is the catcher here, because as you're navigating, what kind of movies do I want to watch? What kind of music do I want to listen to? What kind of drinks do I want to drink? What kind of whatever it may be? You got to be careful that you don't actually condemn yourself in what you approve. Because if God's like, you know what, don't watch that. And you're like, no, I got liberty. I have liberty in Christ. I can watch whatever I want. All things are clean to me. Now God is like, you're condemning yourself in what you approve. But happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. So the moment God puts something on your heart and says, don't do that anymore, now you got to struggle and wrestle with God until you actually make the decision to stop doing that thing. That's what walking by faith is, okay? And then he says, verse 23, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. Whatever is not from faith is sin. You need to know what you know and know why you know it and walk in that. If you're in doubt and you're like, I don't know. I'm not sure if I should have a drink or not have a drink, so I'm just going to have a drink. You know what I mean? Like that's actually not the right answer. The right answer is seek the Lord until he gives you an answer and you feel confident in how you're walking. What kind of language should I use? Like, should I say, like, is it okay to say poop in front of my kids? You know? Like, is it okay to say doo-doo? Like whatever words you decide to use, you have to decide, right? You have to decide what words you're going to use. Like in our house growing up, like fart was the F word. You know, our kids knew not to say it, right? And then again, eventually you get to a point where they were like, you know, Elijah's in high school. We're like, you could actually say that word. That's okay. Like, it's all right, buddy. You know, I don't want you to like correct your friend in school. Like, you don't want to be that homeschooled as you head into, you know, as you head in. Like, it's okay. But when it comes to Christian liberties, like I'm not going to give you the answer you're looking for. You're not going to come to me like Moses at the tent and be like, I have a question for you. How many drinks should I have? And I'm like, 1.3. And you're like, thank you. And you leave. Like, no, I'm not going to do that. This is your journey with the Lord, and you've got to seek him. And I think the whole purpose here of what Paul's trying to say is Christian faith is not rules. Christian faith is faith. Christian faith is a journey and a relationship with God where you're seeking him. Now, are there rules? Do you have to say, God, should I murder my neighbor because he did that? You know, like, come on, guys. Like, there's obvious rules, okay? But when it comes to the gray areas, okay? When it comes to the gray areas, I'm not going to give you the answer. That's where you seek him, but you will be blessed if you seek him and you grow in that. And then you have to spend the rest of your Christian walk resisting the urge to judge somebody for the way that they act and resisting the urge to exercise your liberties when somebody else is still on that journey. That's how we're going to have to walk. It's walking by faith, being convinced in your own heart that you know what you know and you know why you know it. And I'm telling you right now, it takes work. But it's a noble work, and it's a work worth putting yourself out there for. And it's one that I remember doing when I first came to faith, and it's not a one-time thing. But there was some serious purging that needed to happen when I first came to faith. And so I purged, right? And I purged a little too far, probably. You know, I became a little too Christian for a while, which is okay. That sounds so wrong. That sounded so bad. But you know what I mean? I'm like, all my radio stations were like basically like fundraising for Air One. You know what I mean? Like, that's all it was. And like, you know, I didn't touch alcohol. I didn't do, like, I was just like in a Christian bubble for the longest time. I only spent time with Christian people. I was in like 5 small groups. Sometimes you overswing the pendulum a little bit. And then you're like, I actually need to be with human beings, you know, like other people that maybe don't have the same faith as me. It's actually a good, healthy thing for me to, like, but my point is, it's a lifelong journey to say, where should I be? God, how should I handle this situation? How should I treat this person? How should I respond here? What should I be intaking? What should I be learning? Like, constantly talking with God and not saying, here's the rules, and if I live by these rules, I'm good, and I'm just going to live by these rules for the rest of my life. Constantly seek the Lord in how he wants you to live and how he wants you to exercise your faith. Amen? Okay, let me pray for us. Father God, thank you so much for this congregation, Lord. It brings me so much joy to see all these faces looking back at me. Lord, I'm just grateful that you've brought together a community of believers who are saying, you know, we're gonna go deeper in your word. We're gonna open up ourselves and expose ourselves to say, Lord, let your word do a work in and through my heart. I pray that every person in this room would feel that right now, Lord. Not condemnation, Lord, but just that your spirit would comfort them, guide them, convict them where conviction needs be. And Lord, that some of us in this room who maybe haven't gone down that road, that journey, would begin to seek you and say, Lord, how do you want me to live my life? How do you want each action to be? Lord, they would let you get into the details of their life. They wouldn't just say, yes, God, I believe in you. Yes, God, I know you. But God, it would be a faith walk, a relationship, a journey, a step-by-step walking with you each and every day. They would talk to you like a friend. They would talk to you like a good father. And they would constantly say, Lord, how do you want me to handle this? How do you want me to walk in this? How do you want me to lead others in this? And God, I just pray against a spirit of judgment right now, Lord, that we would not point the finger at others, God. Before we pull out the splinter in our neighbor's eye, we would pull the giant log or plank out of our own. God, we all need to be accountable to you first and foremost, because our knees will bow and our tongues will confess that you are Lord. We are accountable to you, our judge. So God, help us to walk by faith. Help us to not judge one another, but to encourage and lift up the church as we see fit. God, we honor you, we love you, and pray that you would guide us and lead us through this week. We pray this all in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.